The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Flavor of Our Community. Celebrated Chef Christopher Williams will honor his great-grandmother's legacy by highlighting the contributions of African Americans to Texas cuisine in an upcoming cookbook. The only true American art forms in this country that survived are the ones that came through us, Williams says. Truly American cuisine is Black cuisine. I want to build past the narrative that our food is only soul food, barbecue, or breakfast. My great-grandmother is a self-published author who created a cookbook back in 1941. She wrote the recipes by hand, and her daughter, my grandmother, typed them. All we are doing is honoring their work and doing a bit of modernizing to bring those dishes back to life. We know the food works because some of the restaurant's best-selling items come from her 100-year-old recipes. I wouldn't even imagine messing with these dishes because they work as well today as they did a century ago. As Williams and Stewart move forward with Black Texas, they hope to create more connections to the past while continuing to strengthen the foundation left by Smith. The next article is titled, Essence Sister Brand Naturally Curly recommends popular Myeel Organics products to test out. Myeel Organics Rosemary Mint Scalp and Hair Strengthening Oil, $10. Does this product live up to the hype? Thousands of Naturally Curly community members voted on our Best of the Best awards, and the consensus is this is the best hair growth product for all hair types. Myeel Organics Pomegranate and Honey Leave-In Conditioner, $13. The hallmark of a good leave-in conditioner is the ability to smooth, soften, detangle, and leave our curls frizz-free in one fell swoop. This leave-in ticks all the boxes, making it the Naturally Curly community's best leave-in conditioner for oily type 4 hair. Myeel Organics Babassu Oil and Mint Deep Conditioner, $14. This was voted best deep conditioner for all hair types because not only will it hydrate your natural hair, but it offers protein for the curlies who need to re-strengthen their strands. It features Babassu and Amazonian palm fruit plus mint oil, which leaves a refreshing, tingly feel. Myeel Organics Honey and Ginger Styling Gel, $12. This Curly Girl CG Method approved styling gel contains soothing, natural ingredients like honey, ginger, and babassu to hydrate your hair. It will give each of your curls definition and smooth your edges while keeping frizz away. Myeel Organics Rosemary Mint Strengthening Edge Gel, $7. Caring for your edges has never been easier with this one-and-done edge gel. Its botanical extracts calm frizz and flyaways, while biotin, coconut, and babassu seed oils keep your edges strong and resistant to breakage. It was voted Naturally Curly's best edge control for all hair types. The next article is titled, The Black Femme Renaissance, Kalila is Making Her Own Rules. The sultry singer found the joy in drastic change while recording her new album, Raven. As Kalila got ready to shoot the music video for her latest album, Raven, she had a dilemma. The LMK performer had cut her hair, changing the look that she had rocked since the start of her mainstream career. That look was what supporters knew her for. Locks cropped to graze her shoulders, flipped to her right, revealing a shaved head on the other side. All of it was now sculpted down into a buzz cut, revealing the full crown of her head. And she wanted to bring everyone with her in the music video for Washed Away, from dreadlocks to close cut. What's the way? I don't even know, Kalila said, trying to explain her thought process over the phone on a late January night in London. Her creative director, Misha Notcut, had an idea. Cut to the video in which she wears a leather dreadlock hairpiece, thick, slightly worn, matte black tubes, emulating her signature style. As the video progresses against a backdrop of clay colored mountains and dark waters in her homeland of Ethiopia, she slowly slides the wig off with both hands to reveal a shaved head. She appears focused and intense, but her shoulders are relaxed. It's a dramatic moment. The seriousness might lead you to think the wig was a high-brow artistic performance. A nod to Kalila's growth over the past 5 years since the 2017 release of her debut album, Take Me Apart. It was not. It's a gag, Kalila states now. Mischa was like, do you want to do this gag or no? And I was like, absolutely trying to do the gag. Her choice is a reminder that some of the most fruitful ideas are birthed at the intersection of comedy, collaboration, and resilience. What I love is that there is so much humor, but people have to step back a little bit to see it, because I think that my crap does come off serious. If you need a way to categorize her, Kalila is an R&B artist. The 39-year-old is also a master merger of genres rooted in black music, such as house, electronic, and their subgenres, and crafting songs that can be felt unmistakably by black films is a specific part of her intention. You can hear her songs on the club scene, as DJs bump house music, as well as inside the private sanctums of those craving vulnerability in a cruel world. She grew up in Washington, D.C., a second-generation Ethiopian-American whose parents were politically active, fighting for their rights as immigrant students in America. In 2013, after moving to Los Angeles at 28 years old, she released her mixtape, Cut For Me, and EP Hallucinogen, followed in 2015. She also did a host of remixes with her peers, such as K-Tranada and LSDXOXO, who are both producers on Raven. More recently, Kalila has emerged as a leading musician in the realm of alternative R&B, both as a black queer solo artist and as a member of the global world of dance music. Her evolution is a reminder that while the music industry venerates youth in the club scene. People who live it know it is multi-generational. In Raven, I wanted to survey a lot of different subgenres of dance music, Kalila says. She explains that dance music has hierarchies. At any given moment, one subgenre holds more weight or popularity, yet they all originate from Black hands. And that's my point. So I really try to create smooth transitions to aid the discovery of new music and new sound. Her song, Closure, holds a deep, sultry bass through the majority of a track, but that slinking Ching Y 4 count makes it taste like metal. Then artist Ra Ra Gabor emerges with a rap verse, and the song transitions into a jungle break beat, a speed up drum solo typical of 60s or 70s funk or R&B songs. In the late 70s, DJs would merge drum solos to create this break beat. There are various versions of the sound used across genres of music today. It's me trying to show you how these things are related, Kalila says. It's me saying, this goes perfectly into this. If you get this, you can get this. And I just keep doing that. Kalila wrote each song on her album, with additional credits by painter Geneva Ellis and fellow artists Jungle P, Asmara, Shy Girl, and LSDXOXO. I would say that this record feels different in the way it draws its boundaries, she says. So it's leading with love and vulnerability, and also it's saying what we not going to do today is this, and it's articulating a limit. Because I think there's a way that there's devotion and then there's an unhealthy other thing. On this record, I think I'm trying to articulate the distinction. 13 of the 15 songs on Raven were recorded in a 6-day span in January 2020, before any of us in the U.S. had a true grasp of what was to come. COVID-19 lockdown and the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Tony McDade were the elements of a subsequent uprising. I initially thought it was just going to be a really quick turnaround type project, Kalila says. Just going to not think too hard, first idea, best idea, just really going for things from instinctive place and not edit too much. So that was my goal, to use the process of making a record to affirm myself and affirm my process and how I do it. Another song, Raven, was added in February of that year. Fooly was the last song recorded. Ultimately, the wait for Kalila's album was less the product of a hiatus and more of an aligning with the times. One of her concerns was that people might interpret Raven as a pandemic album, one for which she did a lot of thinking as a result of global occurrences. But this is how I've been feeling the whole time, she explains, and I knew before the pandemic that I wanted to get into that. In doing so, Kalila created a piece of work to meet this moment and propel listeners forward. Part of that time was not just auditing everybody else, but auditing myself, checking in with myself, and being like, okay, so what are your values, she says. What do you want this to reflect? Where are the places that it doesn't feel good? And just trying to get my decision-making even more in alignment with my values. These questions required Kalila to get clear on this through her own continued studies during 2020, which included the individual audit, personally and professionally. That's one thing about Kalila. She is focused on her own growth as a Black artist versus fixating on the moral progression of white people. Professionally, I was thinking about my place in this realm of music, the power and the access that I have, the responsibility in that, and also the ways that I am marginalized. Just really being clear with everybody that I work with about what's actually happening, the ways that capitalism and colorism intersect when it comes to Black films in the music business, period, she says. The Billboard Top 100 between 2012 and 2021 offers a snapshot of what Kalila is talking about. According to USC's fifth annual report, in the recording studio, women are more likely to appear credited as songwriters in electronic music, 20.5%, then for pop songs, 19.1%. Women songwriters are significantly less likely to work on hip-hop, 6.4%, and R&B songs, 9.4%. Yet the ratio of men to women artists who topped charts in this latter genre was only 3.6 to 1, suggesting an environment where the gaze and taste of white men steer what's worth investing in. This is what Kalila is referring when she talks about the nuance and crassness she and other artists face. No one's able to create security without approval, she notes, and that's just the reality. The question for Kalila then becomes, how has she been able to do it? How has she risen as one of the more visible Black women signed to an indie record label who's making Black music? Other Black films in my life, she explains simply, there are a lot of other things that contribute to that, but my core safety and just the affirmation I'm getting to really deal with everything on the daily. That's coming from my inner circle of friends. The next article is titled, Living the Soft Life. Achieving this state of being isn't impossible, but there's no one-size-fits-all model. By now, you have probably seen aesthetically engaging social content with the hashtag SoftLife go viral on TikTok or Instagram. Perhaps you have wondered where the trend came from and why it has become so popular among Black women. With 378.1 million views and counting on TikTok and 158,000 posts on Instagram, it seems to be transforming into a lifestyle. The term actually originated in the Nigerian influencer community as a concept around intentionally seeking comfort, peace, and rest, a movement that Black women have needed for some time. For Black women who are divesting themselves of the harmful strong Black woman trope, the hashtag soft life doesn't simply mean having an abundance of wealth, luxury, and status, as many of us release the social pressures of being seen as tough and resilient. We are also beginning to opt for wellness, prioritizing our mental health by identifying our limits and standing firmly in regard to them. Prompted by the hashtag soft life idea, we were allowed to ask, am I choosing joy? Is my wellness top of mind for me? Although there have been critiques about the movement being rooted in unrealistic and unachievable opulence and luxury, it has much more to do with valuing a wellness mindset and incorporating balance into your life. You can be a hard worker, but also love and recognize the need to rest and reset. It's about establishing healthy boundaries to cultivate daily enjoyment, comfort, and ease. As more Black women learn about the hashtag soft life concept, they are beginning to define it for themselves and participate in their own way. As a result, soft life content on social media has quickly shifted from displaying only fine dining, materialism, and exotic locations. It now includes educational posts about the importance of self-care and mental wellness, and instructional videos explaining how to live softer. Transparent and Black, a wellness collective founded in 2019 by Yasmin Jamila, characterizes the hashtag soft life approach as an act of radical wellness meant for every kind of Black woman. Wellness is an extension of soft living, so anytime that you are discussing what's best for Black women and encouraging them to prioritize themselves, you're discussing soft living, Jamila says. Perhaps Audre Lorde said it best in her 1988 book of essays, A Burst of Light. Overextending myself is not stretching myself, she wrote. I had to accept how difficult it is to monitor the difference. Necessary for me as cutting down on sugar, crucial physically, psychically, caring for myself is not self-indulgence, but self-preservation, an act of political warfare. For psychotherapist Megan Watson, founder of Bloom Psychology and Wellness, the hashtag soft life means a life marked by tenderness, vulnerability, slow living, intentionality, ritual, and purpose. When I think about living a soft life, I see it as a way of being rather than an achievement to unlock, she says, reiterating that hashtag soft living is more of a mindset and a lifestyle commitment than a passing fad. It marks a return to simplicity and being well, without having to resort to rigid beliefs, tough love, and resilience by overproductivity, she says. It's all about what wellness means for you. Self-care and wellness don't need to be overcomplicated, nor does it have to look one way, Watson adds. Instead, she explains, it's more about the intention behind what you do rather than what you have or have acquired. Leisure and luxury can only be accessed through engaging in hustle culture or a capitalistic mentality, which might feel like the opposite of soft living, she notes. Watson has seen the emotional damage Black women experience due to spreading themselves thin. For Black women, we've been told that being resilient and enduring pain is a form of personal victory and triumph, she says. Living a soft life is in complete opposition to that. It emphasizes ways we can thrive without having to endure hardship and pain first. When it comes to Black women benefiting from a life of ease and peace, Watson insists it's a no-brainer. Hashtag soft life teaches Black women that we don't have to harden against the world to live freely in it, she reflects. I think it is a way of showing ourselves that we deserve peace, mindfulness, wellness, and beauty in our lives, especially when we get to be creative about what that looks like, as opposed to someone else defining it for us. Creativity, slowness, and freedom allow us to reclaim our time to pour into our mental health. How meaningful might it be for our mental health if we released expectations around having to be tough all the time and instead embrace our vulnerability, she asks. Priscilla MPH is a digital content creator and public health professional and the founder of Sadie Babies, a virtual safe space where Black and multiracial people can destigmatize mental health and initiate collective healing. She has joined in on the hashtag soft life movement and dissects the practice with her audience, dedicated to bridging the gap between mental health awareness and minority communities through digital discourse. Priscilla offers relevant content such as the podcast The Soft Life with Sadie Baddies. She believes that soft life is more than autonomy, intentional choices, and a mindset than about financial freedom. And pressure to earn is something we must strip to attain it. Of course, having the financial means to make healthy choices for yourself is a privilege, she says. However, you can be a high earner but still make choices that do not center care, tenderness, or balance in your life, especially if you have been conditioned or expected to do everything the hard way. So is the hashtag soft life concept truly attainable for Black women? Absolutely, Priscilla says. She believes that we just need some help to maintain this way of living. Not only is it attainable for Black women, but we also need the environment and support system that promotes softness, she adds. Internally, we can make the choices to rest, say no, ask for help, and prioritize ease. But it requires a collective unlearning of being identified solely as the strong Black woman. Watson agrees, noting that the sooner we stop leaning on such a trope and are kinder to ourselves as we attempt to adopt the practice of living a softer life, the better off we will be. The stereotype of the strong Black woman can be really harmful, she notes. I have seen firsthand how that can damage Black women by way of emotional, mental, and physical burnout. Black women deserve the space to live and grow in soft ways, Watson adds. The key is to not overcomplicate the journey to a soft life mindset. Take your time and try not to judge yourself too harshly along the way. The next article is titled, Pepsi Pledges $200,000 in Donations and Scholarships for Mary J. Blige's Strength of a Woman Festival, taken from BlackEnterprise.com. Mary J. Blige's Strength of a Woman Festival will again descend upon Atlanta, and Pepsi is set to return as a brand partner in a major way. During Mother's Day weekend, Blige and Pepsi will co-present the second annual festival and summit to empower women to create opportunities for connection and growth. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.